Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'm going to be in John chapter 20, in verse number 22, and I'm going to read from another passage as well, so leave your Bibles open. John chapter 20, in verse number 22, and I told Chris I may be opening up a can of worms tonight. I'm going to be getting into some, maybe some, a little bit of doctrinal teaching, and I assure you, my introduction probably will be longer than the sermon tonight, but I think it's something that is needed in our churches in America today. John chapter 20 and verse 22. And it said, and when he had said this, speaking of Jesus, he breathed on them, talking about his disciples. He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. If I got you concerned now, we are in a Pentecostal church, aren't we? If you'll turn to Luke chapter 11, in verse number 13, he said, if ye then, this is Jesus again speaking, if ye then, being evil, know how good, or how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. You know the account whenever he was there on Mars Hill and began to preach, and they had all these idols to all these false gods. And they was worshiping all, and just in case that they missed out on a God, they had an idol to the unknown God. And I believe that if the Apostle Paul was in America today, he began to preach to them about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he said, He is the unknown God. I believe if Paul was in America today, he would preach in the churches about the unknown God and tell them about the Holy Ghost. Most of our churches today are afraid of the moving of the Holy Spirit. It's sad, but it's true. They will make fun of you. They'll call us holy rollers. You get in the Spirit, and I'll tell you what, they'll make a mockery out of it. There was a movement in this country when I was growing up. It was called the Charismatic Movement. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't believe that you can teach this. I don't believe that we can take you into a Sunday school room somewhere and teach you how to speak into tongues. That's the wrong kind of tongue. There are so many people that have so many misconceptions about the Holy Spirit. And there's so many people in the church world today that they just want to distance themselves from anything to do with the Holy Ghost. Jesus was concerned with His disciples. He gave them a promise in John, and He breathed on them. For 40 days, He traveled with them. He walked with them. He talked with them. Then after the ascension, you'll find out that the disciples, they locked themselves in the upper room in their own free will. They was in that upper room by their choice. And you'll begin to read in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled. Did you catch that? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Every one of them was filled. He gave them the promise back in John. He said, I'm going to breathe on you. By the time we get to verse number 13 of chapter 4, he said, and now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men and marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I want you to notice something here tonight of what happens when the Holy Ghost is poured out. That wasn't the first time, and it wasn't the last time. By the time we get to Acts chapter number 4 and verse 31, it said, and when they had prayed and the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. If we ever needed anything in the church world today, we need the fullness and the presence with the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost in our churches more today than we've ever needed it before. Well, why do we need the Holy Ghost? Well, number one, He convicts us of our sins. He seals our salvation and gives us the earnest, the Scripture teaches us, of our salvation. He gives us spiritual truths. My Bible teaches me that He teaches us all things. He comforts us. When we're going through struggles and we're going through problems and it seems like the weight of this world is on our shoulders and we don't know how we're going to make it, He's a comfort, a very present help in the time of need. He's the way that I can lift my head up, square my shoulders back and say, I know that there is a Redeemer. He empowers us for service. He gives us power to live a victorious life over sin. The apostles were filled with the Spirit. The early church believers were filled with the Spirit. And I'm here to tell you tonight that you need to be filled with the Spirit. Some people are afraid of it. But we need it, Brother Virgil. Well, what does that mean? He breathed on them. The same words for breath is the same word that we have for Spirit. He said the Spirit will come like a wind. We read there in Acts that it came like a mighty rushing wind. There's two other places in the Bible that mentions the Lord breathing on mankind. You remember in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7? And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Every other part of creation, God spoke it into existence. But when it came to mankind, He breathed on him. The other passage you'll find in Psalms chapter 33 and verse number 6, the Bible says that by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Well, what is he talking about, the host of them? He's referring to the warring angels. What's all that mean, preacher? He gave them power One angel, one night, slew 185,000 of the Assyrian army. I can do nothing without Jesus. I am nothing on my own. But when this Holy Spirit empowers me, I can do all things through Jesus Christ. Why do we need a fulfilling of the Holy Spirit? It's because I need the power. When you have a church that is lacking the Holy Spirit, you have a church that is weak. When we don't have the Spirit, we don't see miracles. We don't see healings. We don't see deliverances. We don't see salvations taking place. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. You can get up and you can sing and all you may hit every note perfectly, but you don't have any power. All it takes is a simple preacher with a simple message and the power of the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit, and you've got a powerhouse behind the pulpit. You can climb mountains you thought were impossible. You can fight battles that look like that there's no way you could ever win when you have the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit. He never breathed on creation. I don't read where he breathed on the fish in the sea. He didn't breathe on the animals. He didn't breathe on the sun. He didn't breathe on the moon. But he breathed on mankind. And he gave them power. Why do we believe that we need the power? Well, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, for number one, you're dead. Is that scripture? Let me just go here and I'll show you. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9, he's referring to believers here. He said, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, if you don't have the Spirit, you're not saved. Are you with me? No man cometh to the Father, but the Spirit draweth. Now, wait a minute, preacher, I'm saved. Yes, but are you filled with the fullness of the Spirit? There's a difference here. You can go to heaven by being saved. It's been a while, but I have flown in an airline, Brother Rick. And there's a difference in flying first class and coach. If I've got my choice, I'm going to fly first class. You can go coach if you want to go. But I want the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm hungry for something more. He goes on to tell us in verse number 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Did you get that? The body should not dictate what the body does. The Spirit should tell the body what the body does. When we have the fullness of the Spirit working in our life, it doesn't matter if we go to 3 o'clock in the morning having church service, the Spirit will tell the body, just suck it up, buttercup. That's a good one from Janie. In other words, the Spirit takes control of our life. And if we're not in the Spirit, the body will tell the body that we got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And it's going to come really early. We got to get our beauty rest. You wonder why some of the old timers had church services to weigh in the morning? I'll tell you why. They had the fullness of the Holy Ghost working in their life. Oh, but Brother Hubbard, I'm saved. I've got the Spirit. You've told me that I can't be saved without the Spirit. I've got the Spirit in my... But the difference between the Spirit in your life of being saved is the body controlling the body. Or if we get the fullness of the Spirit is in control of the body. You know I've got Scripture to back this up, don't you? I'm not going to leave you in deep water. When Jesus was in that tomb, that tomb was sealed. The Spirit went into a sealed tomb when He was in there and raised Him up. The body was dead, but the Spirit had control over the body. Are y'all following me? When we get the fullness of the Holy Ghost in our lives and working like it should be, this body is subject to the Spirit. And the Spirit has power. Well, brother, I just don't know that I can make it on 30 minutes of sleep. The body can't, but the Spirit can. I don't know that I can fast for 40 days. The body can't, but the Spirit can. I don't know that I can pray all night long. The body may not be able to, but the Spirit can. Why do people stress the fullness of the Spirit? Well, the fullness of the Spirit is not what saves you. The fullness of the Spirit is not what sanctifies you. Now, I know some people will teach and they'll preach that when you get sanctified, that you'll receive the fullness of the Spirit. It may happen simultaneously. You may get saved and you may receive the fullness of the Spirit at the same time as you get saved and receive your salvation, but it didn't always happen that way. That's false teaching. Now, if it happened to you that way, I'm tickled to death for you. But that's not scriptural. I read there, we just read an account there where the same people were filled multiple times. When you're saved, you have all of the Spirit. Now, I want to back up just a minute. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. He tells us how we're sanctified. He says, for it, he's talking about every creature. If you go back to verse number 4, he speaks about that. We're talking about the it is every creature. So this is not limited to preachers. It's not limited to the Sunday school teachers. This is everyone. Said, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. What he's saying is you can get to the point that I want more of the Lord to control more of my life because I want to have more of the Lord, and I can't have any more of the Lord. I'm already saved. I want more, but I can't have it because I already got Him. But listen to me. What I'm saying when I want the fullness of the Holy Ghost is I want the Lord to have more of me. I'm saved. I already got all of him I can get. I mean, I'm no more saved than you are. When I receive salvation, the Holy Spirit come into my life, the same Spirit that come into your life. But what I'm saying is I want more of God, and I can't have any more of God, but He can have all of me. And when we get the fullness of the Holy Ghost, what we're saying is, God, I'm turning it all over to you. You got complete control of my body. The Spirit lead me. The Spirit guide me. The Spirit direct me. The Spirit preach me. We need some more Holy Ghost-filled churches in America. When you're saved, you have all of the Spirit. But when you're filled, the Spirit has all of you. And here's what people don't like. If He has all of you, He has all control of you. Ooh, that's hard. But Lord, you really want me to tell that person about Jesus? You really want me to go over there and give them a word of encouragement? The body's trying to get back in control. There's a reason I'm preaching this to the Sunday night crowd. The Sunday morning crowd, I don't think you take it. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. I want you to look at this. He said, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." Now, this is not giving you an excuse to drink. He said, "But be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. He is liking this unto somebody being under the intoxication. When we can get to the point that the Spirit controls our body. Have you ever been around somebody that's drunk? They don't know what they're saying, don't know what they're doing, and sometimes when they come to, they don't remember what they did. What he's saying is somebody else is in control other than the person that's there. In other words, some said they were drunk. But it's early morning. Surely they're not drinking this early. They had the fullness of the Holy Ghost. When we get the fullness of the Holy Ghost, we'll say things and we'll do things, not of our own accord, but the accord of the Holy Spirit, because He is speaking through us. He is acting through us. We need the Spirit. Well, I told you the introduction would be longer than the message. But how do we have the fullness of the Holy Ghost? Number one, he tells us, desire to be filled to overflowing. He said in John chapter 20, verse 22, the text that I read to you, he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." If you don't want it, guess what? You're not going to get it. You've got to want it. You've got to want to be endued with power. They stayed in that upper room for 10 days waiting. Why? Because they wanted what Christ was offering to give them. If you want to be in control, He won't fill you. You got to be able to turn loose and let God. In Luke 11:13, the second passage that I read to you, he said that this is a gift to them that ask. My Father, give to the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. If you don't ask and you don't want it, you can't receive it. Now, I hope I've made myself clear. I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit. If you want Him working in your life, what I'm trying to tell you tonight is there is room for improvement. You can fly coach, or you can step up and fly first class. It's up to you. Number two, you have to empty yourself. You got to repent. Now again, I'm not talking about salvation. You say, well, repent. Why? I'm already saved. Well, good for you. But what about during this snowstorm when the lady in front of you grabbed the last loaf of bread that was on the shelf? When somebody cuts you off in traffic? Oh, don't give me that holier-than-thou look. I know what goes through my mind. I sure know what goes through your mind, too. When you was a little bit late and getting off the brake pedal at the stoplight and somebody laid down on their horn, hey, don't tell me that you live a perfect life. We have to repent. We have to tear down walls. If we don't empty ourselves, if you're full of you, you cannot be full of Him. There's times that I have to apologize to my wife and make things right with her. That's Scripture. If you have aught with your brother, you need to take care of that. If we want the fullness of the Holy Ghost in this church, we have to make things right. Sometimes that's repenting. Sometimes it's saying I'm sorry. Sometimes it's prayer and fasting. Sometimes it's going back to the altar and say, God, this is on me. I'm sorry. I messed up. Then we have to receive. We have to come prepared to worship. If we're hungry for the Spirit, we will receive things of the Spirit. I want you to think with me. According to Scripture, I try to stay in the book. According to Scripture, when, and I can, and I'm judging. I know you're going to say the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. But I can judge the condition of the church based on Scripture. When anyone is filled, I'm talking the fulfillment of the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about the fulfillment of the Holy Ghost. When they are field. For the 10, they can't shut up. Two places in the book of Acts I just read to you. They stood up and began to speak. Every man in a different language. They spoke with boldness. Chapter 4, you get over there and you'll find Peter and John begin to speak and preach with boldness. They thought they was drunk. When we get the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter who we're around or who's listening or who we're talking to. You cannot help but tell them about Jesus. The power. Church, we need some power. We're living in a world that needs to hear about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And we can never do it effectively without the fulfilling of the Spirit. If we could just start church like what we ended, what would it be like? I can remember when people used to come, and I know Sister Rosetta and some of the sisters has started that, coming to before church and to begin to pray and to worship and start the service. It makes a difference. You know what? They was hungry for the fulfilling of the Holy Ghost in their lives. It made a difference in their week. It made a difference in the church services. When we can condition our hearts and our lives to be prepared to have a fulfilling of the Holy Ghost working in us, it'll make a difference in the church. It'll make a difference in the world. My message tonight is, Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost. Lord, breathe on us. I don't know about you, but I want more. I want more, and I can't have any more, but He can have all of me. And when we get to that point in our life that we say, Lord, here I am, take me and use me, the Spirit can have something to work with. Let's find us a place to pray tonight. I've done my best. Hopefully I've encouraged you. I've helped you in some way, something that's said or done. I think all of us could possibly move up a little closer and say, Lord, fill me. I want the power. I don't want to be just a minister up here tonight, a pastor that just reads a few scriptures and working like a well-oiled machine, but I want to have the power of the Holy Ghost, the anointing that moves and changes lives. I want more of Him. But in order for me to have more of Him, I've got to give Him all of me. Let's find us a place to pray.